born to be. This is small town music, this is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, the comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. My name's Pat Francis, and today I don't have producer Kyle is not here. I'm on my own, but I do have a full house around this table. The people at this table have been making music for, I don't even want to tell you how long. It's a long time. To my left, and you can say hello from the Bangles, Ms. Vicki Peterson.
Hello. Where's Kyle?
Kyle was working.
Where's Kyle?
He's a child. He's a kid. He's working. Directly in front of me, from the band The Cowsills and drummer,
Cowsill.
Current touring drummer for the Beach Boys,
oh my God.
John Cowsill.
Hello, everyone out there in Podland.
And to my right, which will mean nothing to you listening, but is it Billy?
No.
It's not. It's not Billy. All the things I have say Billy.
Take two.
That's okay. That's okay. Right. Only Vicky and my dead mother could call me Billy.
All right.
I stopped being Billy during the summer of love.
And it's Mummy?
Nope.
See, look at that. This is all coming out.
You've already got 1 foot in the cornfield.
Wow,
it's Mumi. Is it Mumi?
Nope.
We're
it's
learning.
Mumi.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Indeed.
This is good. We're learning.
Should
today.
I leave it in?
This is
Moo
absolutely.
Like a cow.
Dude, you are about to go to the cornfield.
Me like me.
I know.
Mumi.
No, this is important stuff, I think.
It is important stuff. And I actually meant to ask you that before we started recording.
But you didn't.
I didn't. So, look, I'm not. I don't get embarrassed. So, should I leave that in?
Yes, absolutely.
Bill Mumi.
There you go.
You did it.
That's what my dad always said. It was
all right. Bill, see, because when I was a kid and I would watch you on Lost in Space, I knew it wasn't pronounced Mummy because it wasn't spelled like Mummy. So in my head, I thought it was Mumi.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not.
No.
We've learned today.
We have. It's already an educational program.
Do you get angry when people make this mistake?
No.
Okay. Mm.
Ask Vicky. I don't get angry. I never get angry.
Vicky, did you give him his dedication?
I just send people away.
All right. The reason you three are here,
why?
I'm excited about this. I want to find out how you guys came together. You guys have an album coming out. It'll drop tomorrow, actually, at the time of that you guys are hearing this. This album will drop tomorrow. The band is called Action Skulls, and the name of the album is Angels Here. And I love the cover. Who did this cover?
Our friend Sarah Taylor painted the cover, and our friend Angela Cartwright designed the package and took the photographs.
I love it. And we know Angela Cartwright because she played your sister on television.
She did indeed.
So this is really a family affair because Vicky and John are husband and wife, I hope still.
Still.
At the time of
this
record.
Actually, as of last week.
We were discussing.
Maybe
new contract.
It may change.
Maybe two bedrooms at the house.
Once you're in a band together, it's
I've destroyed her writing skills. She's too happy. So if we throw this thing to the dirt, then she might be more creative.
There's a whole potential Fleetwood Mac thing here.
That's right. Totally.
That's true.
John and I have this unspoken connection.
Hang on, I got to get that call. Hey, Eileen, what is up?
Now the cover is this. Is this you guys on the cover?
Yes. Of
I
course.
Assume that's. The red hair is
Bill.
We
used to look that good, yeah.
And right in the center? Are you in the center?
I'm the one in the middle.
And John,
I never get to be in the middle.
Your hair's not that color, really, John.
It's du jour. It's
this is what you'll look like when you get much, much older.
That's
much,
my x-ray shot. Don't be nasty.
Okay.
And let's also talk about the gentleman who played bass on this album.
Oh, yeah.
And you're going to have to tell me, Bill, since you're
Rick,
the name
the bass
guy.
Player, Rojas. And if you look on the back photograph, he's joined us there. And I say that in all sincerity.
Where is he?
He's an orb right above John.
Oh, right here.
Yes,
yeah, and
yes.
When we took these photos.
That's kind of cool.
Rick showed up in several of them. And I don't think it's any mistake. I mean, he was a beloved band member, and there he is.
Yeah. And was he there for the entire recording? Is his bass on every track?
No, we recorded eight. There's 11 songs on the album, and Rick is on 8 of them. And he passed away, and the project went into suspended animation for a while as John was out fulfilling Beach Boy tour duties. Vicky did a Bangles tour. I made a film and a solo record, and it was just kind of lingering in an unfinished state. And we listened to what we had again fresh after stepping away from it for a while, and it really It felt great, and we had a really good time when we were recording together, because we were recording together.
Yeah.
It wasn't done in layers.
Good.
It was done with the four of us in a room with two guitars, bass, and drums. Leakage be damned. And it felt really good. So it went on hiatus for a while, and we got back together to finish it, and we cut three more songs.
Cool.
John's son, Will, played acoustic bass on Vicky's song Map of the World, and I played bass on the other two.
And just a little backstory on Rick, he's played with Joe Walsh, Dan Fogelberg,
Neil Young,
Crosby,
Stills, Nash,
Meryl Streep,
Buffalo
Springfield reunion.
Streep, that was great.
Ricky
saw
and
that.
The Flash.
I forgot that he had told us he had done that movie, and we got there. And went, oh my God!
You went
Rick's
to see it?
This. Yeah, I saw it. Yeah. I saw the movie, and I said, "Oh my God, Rick's in the band." Anyway, you had to be there.
And he had passed before the movie came out.
Yes,
because
the film's dedicated to.
Yes,
to Rick.
Because when I'm watching the movie, he was quite a friendly presence in any scene he was in. And then at the end, when that came up, I was like, oh.
I didn't know.
Yeah, that was.
Yeah. We have a lot of.
Rock in peace, Rick.
In peace.
A lot of late night texts from Rick. While John was on the road, and Vicky was on the road, and he was on the road. The skulls stayed in constant communication in terms of the album being a work in progress, even though it was on hold every once in a while.
I just want to show you this too, Bill. Oh my gosh! No, I was wrong. Your biography came with, and it says Bill.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. I was hoping I pulled this out and was going to say the other name.
No,
do you have one on me?
I thought you were going to catch him.
What did they call me?
This was sent to me. It was like a top secret thing. It came and it had like a bunch of question marks on it. And that's when I knew that you were definitely coming.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
See, we pay our publicists big time showbiz bucks.
Yeah. He's doing the work.
Mysterious things.
Yeah, who knew?
Now, before we play some songs from the album, I want to say, Bill, a lot of people might know... Not know that you've made so many albums. It's crazy. I counted
crazy.
Like 11 albums with Barnes and Barnes and about 15 solo albums.
That sounds about right.
You know, I grew up in a period of music where every band released like two albums a year and toured or made a movie. And I thank the powers that be because the muse continues to visit me and I write prolifically, and I do have a home studio, so it's not hard to record.
No.
And I've been lucky to have these little indie labels want to put them out.
And everything's on iTunes from what I can see.
It is. I guess it is. It's all on iTunes.
Yeah, fantastic.
And YouTube and stuff. And, I mean, it lives now.
And since we've done our Action Skull album, Bill has put out four new solo albums.
That's not true.
Okay, three.
Two. And another one in the can.
One's on hold.
It's true.
Let's get into this. Let's start with track one on the album. And then I have songs from all eras of the three of you, solo stuff and band stuff and you know, all the different things you've done, Vicky, and it's so get ready. Get ready to hear your own music. Okay.
Spin it.
We're gonna start with a song called Mainstream.
You see the river. Up to you, what you gonna do now?
On the brink of the mainstream, I never drink from the mainstream. I'm gonna sink in the mainstream.
All right, Bill's leaving. He's had enough. And John was mouthing Vicky's parts.
You just, can see
just,
that.
Just to keep everyone knowing what's going on.
Wow. The three of us wrote that song together.
That's right. That is one of the ones that is co-written.
Yeah, Bill, you have your hand in all of these but one, except for Map of the World. That was a solo write by Vicky. And
that's right.
What's weird, that's my favorite one.
It's a great song. It's
no,
probably
I'm kidding.
My
I'm just
favorite
kidding.
One.
I'm just kidding.
I paid him to say that.
That's where the album title comes from.
Now John's leaving. Everyone's leaving.
all have ADHD, so we need to walk around.
Vicky and John and I collaborated on a couple of them, and Vicky and I collaborated on one. I think there's four or five collaborations on the record. The way it... mostly came together was after we had informally jammed on cover tunes one night at a Christmas party at Angela Cartwright's house, we said, well, we should see what happens with some original tunes. And I'll tell you, the muse struck me
hard,
like it rarely does. And I was writing a lot of half-finished songs that I would just record on one of these little iPhone video thingies. And I would do it with a video so that Vicky and John could see the chords I was playing. And I would send it off to them. And it got... it, take it, Vic.
John's taking photos.
Yes, I believe the phrase I used was Bill became annoyingly prolific because we were getting 2 and 3 bathrobe demos a night.
Uh-huh.
I remember there was one. We were in, John
oh
happened
my.
To be in.
God,
we were
it was
in
off
Hawaii,
the charts. Yeah.
And it was my birthday, and we got one that ended up being Best in the Beast, and I was like, this is cool. This
it's
is a
cool.
rock song, and I was like, that was very exciting because yeah. Bill was saying, this is one for you to sing. And
well, I
Bill,
wanted you to sing them all.
You were overly generous with the vocal assignments. Bill was saying, I think you guys should sing this one. You should sing this one. You should. And finally, we had to stop him in his tracks and say, no, Bill, you're singing this one.
Well, listen, I'm in a band with Vicky Come Peterson on, and John Calso. Yeah, I want you guys
you
to
have,
sing.
Okay, he's pulling voice. That thing. I wasn't going to fan out. But Bill, go to the bathroom, will you? So, I'd get these robe videos before she would get uh-huh. them. You know, I said, and I would go... Oh my God!
The robe was closed.
What is that?
Aren't you in the bathroom?
No,
I would say Bill Mumy just sent us a video. Of him in his robe singing a great song.
Now, are there slippers that go with the robe? Are there any?
We
no,
get
there
the
are just the fact
yes.
that it was Bill. Mm. Doing this, I say the same thing when Jay Osmond texts me. I just yell through the house. Jay Osmond is texting me because I grew up as a child like you. Well, I'm older than you are, but
just
people
bit.
My age know who this guy is and know who his TV sister is. And I mean, this is my Fanner 50 family. Well, I'm a Mattel kid, and these are the guys. They are my childhood. And so it's just kind of a funny thing. And the way I think it even, I don't mean to segue into this, but the reason that I even know this guy is because he was on Facebook. And I know he knew a couple of people I knew, and I ran into him once at a club my brother Bob was playing, and he stayed and sang all night with my brother. I hear these stories later on.
This guy can't get enough of music. He
oh
loves
my God,
it.
No, he's a ninny. He knows all the words to everything, and it's just indeed. But no, but the I loved him because of his music, and mm-hmm. I was listening to his solo stuff that he threw up on Facebook, and I'm saying he just reminds me so much of my...
Oops.
You know what? Shut the heck up.
He just throws it up.
No, but I was like... It was sentimental to me because he sounds like my brother Barry, no. who is like the artist extraordinaire, the troubadour, the guy who can do weights, Dylan. I mean, Bill is an earthy singer and bluesy kind of guy and not what you expect. I'm a pop guy. And so he really reminded me of my brother Barry. And I said, and I texted him, I said, or private messaged him, and I said, dude, I want to play Brushes on something of yours. You know, I did. I wanted to play music yep. with him. I just, there was a connection there for myself. And he said, well, that would be cool, you know. And it never materialized at that moment. But we kind of struck a little Facebook relation. And then I got a phone number. And then I felt kind of extra cool because I could text him. And like, I'm texting Bill Mumy. I know.
Did you feel the same way when you were getting a text from one of the Calso?
No, we're just in a club and we're pals, you know? I mean,
now we are.
We always were. He doesn't like to admit the fact that, you know, he was the Adonis of the month in 16 magazine in 1968, or that he was the sweetheart of the month in Favor
and
Tiger Beat and stuff.
Okay, and one quick story, you know,
I remember
you know
all
the
that.
Movie Rascal? The Disney movie?
I don't know if I
okay,
remember that
okay,
one.
Okay, you're out of this. Okay, all you people out there who were listening and are in our age group, you know the Disney classic Rascal. It's about
A classic?
Shush. It's anything with Fess Parker, Bill Mumy, Kurt Russell. That's Disney classic.
That is
my
Kurt
brain.
Russell.
Fred McMurray.
Yeah, you're right.
Dean,
okay.
Dean Jones. But and he was in that movie. But I read for that part. Because I was the other freckled-faced, cute kid of the
Adonis.
Day, but I couldn't act to save my soul.
So we connected again at the Beach Boys 50th anniversary gig at the Hollywood Bowl, because I had mutual friends in the band, and John and I had been talking, but, you know, kind of casually. And at the Hollywood Bowl 50th anniversary gig, we really committed to saying, you know, we got to make some music together. And it was the following Christmas.
Yeah.
We were at Peter Lienheiser's Christmas party. Peter and I used to be in a band, and he runs the artist relations for Gibson Guitars.
Okay.
And he lives four houses away from Angela Cartwright, and they always have a holiday party on the same night. So my wife and I, Eileen, we go to Peter's house, and then we settle in over at Angela and her husband Stephen's house. So we had met John and Vicky at Peter's house. And
I don't get to go to any cool parties. You guys are all at parties, hooking up.
Me neither. And this is a funny thing, because I'm just to finish, to put a tail on this story, is that I knew that they were going to go to Angela Cartwright's party, because he said him and Eileen are going there. We were texting before we went, when are you going to get to Peter's, this, you know, little light chit-chat. And so we got there, and I knew the time was going to be, people are going to leave and stuff. And I made a joke, and I made sure he heard me say, hey, we got to go. I got to get to Angela's, you know. And I'm joking. I'm not invited
we're
to
not
Angela
invited,
Cartwright.
By the way.
But
we crashed.
Bill said, we crashed it. Bill said, he said, we got to go. Let's go. Like a natural thing. And I said, Bill, we don't know her. We weren't invited. He said, and he goes, come on, you're coming with me. Man, I got the napkin from that
That's
night.
That's great. I got the napkin from that night. Oy, oy, oy.
I need to say something about John right now.
Sorry,
all the photos that I see of you, very serious. And you have a wonderful smile. I'm actually crushing out a little bit on John right in front of me.
You're allowed.
Is that what you fell in love with, the smile?
I'm going to pose while you guys talk about me.
Yeah, you do that because I mean, this is a
Yeah,
podcast,
I mean, like this
so
one
we'll
on
know.
The back and then the one inside, you're very serious.
Yeah.
Even when you were walking down the street and I saw these two first and then I saw you and I go, oh, that guy's going to be trouble. I thought he's going to be trouble.
I'm easily annoyed.
But then you said you just smiled and were pleasant, which is fantastic.
I try to keep it hidden.
Yeah, don't tell anyone.
Well, look,
it's a secret that John Cowsell's a nice guy because he really wants everyone to think he's a jerk at all times.
Pretty much.
Don't tell anyone. It's a secret.
Okay, we won't tell it.
Okay,
no one tell
let's
anyone.
Let's get back to action.
Yes.
Spells.
Let's. This is. I feel like we're not even recording. I feel like we're just chatting.
We are. No one's listening to this, Pat. Right?
And by the way, no. Lots of people are listening. Actually, John, later today, when I text my brother a picture of me and Bill. He's gonna go berserk.
Right.
My older brother. He's gonna flip out.
He will.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
You guys are so cute.
Just tell him it's you and Billy.
I won't.
Billy Mummy. Ouch.
I might have to. No, I won't.
Billy Mummy.
Dude, I hate when they called me Johnny.
You know what I'm gonna type under that text.
You know now.
You know exactly what I'm gonna
Finally
type.
Finally I do.
All right. Let's listen to another track, if I see you in another world. From the Action Skulls.
When the lights go out and it's all about what you say to me, will you stay with me in tomorrow's view? Am I here with you?
Fantastic.
Thank you.
One of my favorites.
Mine too.
Pat's over here playing air bass.
Yeah, I feel like I'm
I got to take another hit.
Like I feel like a hippie when I listen to this.
There is a little of that.
Yeah, I love it.
Vicky and I wrote that one together.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, it's awesome.
Where was John?
He was on the road. He was, let's go surfing now.
I'm not a big writer.
That's going to change.
I don't write a lot.
If you push him to, he does it in 2 seconds really naturally.
If you do something bad on purpose, I'll fix it.
No, but it's like, we need a bridge, and he'd just give you one, and, you know, it would be great. But then he'd say, I don't write.
Yeah.
No, I arrange, I fix.
You're a bridge maester.
I Action Skulls now. Get it.
Next record. It'll have more John tunes on it.
Let's hear another one, and then we're going to start to talk about little Cowsills, little Bangles, and little solo Bill, and then we'll get back into Action Skulls. But we can't really have you people here and not talk about the other projects. It would seem like but let's listen to the Luckiest Man Alive. That's me right now, I think.
I've been traveling oh so far with two things on my mind.
What?
To get back to you, baby. The other I forgot. So good, and it feels so fine, and I'm just so glad to know that you're mine.
Big boy chord.
And though I have to go sometimes,
big boy chord.
This is a great headphone album.
Yes. Thank you.
Isn't it great?
Yeah. Yes, it is. It's designed for that.
We worked hard on the mix.
And
the earphones, though, that's definitely the best place for everything.
Definitely.
Today when I was queuing up the songs and stuff, and I heard that one and two in the headphones, I was like, what happened? I'm like, was that on the song? And I had to like back it up.
Mm-hmm. Ron, cool. Come back.
No, I wrote that for John because it's his story.
He did write
He's always traveling hard and far and missing his beautiful wife.
Always.
Aww. Lots of Beach Boys dates.
Always.
Oh, yeah.
Lots of Beach Boys dates. Those guys are popular. I think they're
crazy.
Catching on.
Yeah, they're not bad.
It's a good startup, man.
They may last. It might last.
Now, I live in Los Angeles. You guys live in Los Angeles. Will Action Skulls play live and do any gigging around town?
We're playing live tonight.
Well, I know that. You are playing live tonight.
We're playing live today.
You're playing live today.
And actually, I tell you, Pat Francis, that it is our absolute numero uno first time ever performing as the Action Skulls.
We'll be right now?
Yeah. Be today.
Yes.
If we sing for you.
That is a fact.
What do you mean if? You brought the guitars and everything.
We take them everywhere. We don't necessarily use them. Yeah.
But if we do it, it will be the first time ever. We played together a couple of benefit charity gigs, mm-hmm. but they weren't original materials.
No.
So this is, we'd love to play live, but, you know, John has a day job that, you know, he gets to play the Royal Albert Hall and places like that. And somehow when you go, let's see, come on, man, we could play McCabe's.
Yeah,
I'll play McCabe's. And it's like, no, I've got to play the Royal Albert Hall this week.
Yeah, but we booked the Canyon Club. What are you talking about?
Look at,
So here's the thing. First of all, we've had so much fun. I hope I'm speaking for us in totality here. We've had so much fun in the last few days turning this rock and roll record into two acoustic guitars and the three of us just unplugged that, who knows, maybe we can do that. That's all. You know, the record, if we were to go out and really try to duplicate the record, well, obviously we need a bass player and a keyboard player. So that's not hard to do.
Right.
But you still have to take the time to work it up. But John's only usually here for a few days every few months. So it's hard to work that up.
You would think the Beach Boys would be slowing down, but they're not slowing down.
No, it's like we were talking. They're playing a Humphreys in San Diego next week or something. It's a beautiful venue that I've played a couple of times, and I know Vicky and the Bangles have played there. It's a wonderful place to play. I'm not trying to do a commercial for it, but I was blown away that they're playing it twice in one day.
Oh yeah,
two shows.
Like, we're playing Humphreys, but we're playing 40 songs a show.
Not big enough for
twice. And we're doing it twice.
You're doing a matinee. Yeah.
Dude, I egg my boss on sometimes. I egg Mike Lev on and I say, you wuss. I said, you're afraid to do a breakfast show. I do. And he laughs at that. And he, you son of a it, but, you know. We give it to each other pretty much.
Yeah, because the drummer, that's the most strenuous position on the stage.
I'm glad you noticed that. It is. It's demanding. It's physically demanding. Yeah. So when I'm doing two shows a day, 4 days in a row, you know, I'm looking for a bathtub. I've been in a car crash.
Well, he's lucky because he's got John Stamos to kind of step
in. I do. John
Stamos
does come out sometimes, and he does join us, and it's awesome. We have a best time, and people love that. And
now, John Stamos, his drums aren't mic though, right?
Baloney.
No.
John is like a very good friend, and he comes out. And we love when he comes out because it's so much fun on stage. And
we love Uncle John.
No, that's Uncle Jesse. I'm Uncle John. They call me UJ. And they actually, his nephews call him UJ too, so we always think that's really funny. Yeah, they do. But no, he comes out. It's a hoot. I get a break. I get to lay down. I get to text my wife when he comes out because there are two sets on. And we are both Ludwig and Dorsey's. And it's a fun time. It really is. And the people love it. You know, how can I say they wouldn't? They do.
Anyway, he's pretty busy, this guy. That was the point. In terms of us working up a gig.
Well, man, we do 170 shows a year. That's a lot of freaking setting up and tearing down.
If it happens, I will 100% be there, for sure.
I hope you do. Yeah, anytime you know, just buy a ticket, and I'll wait for you from the front row. I have Rolling Stones mentality. I don't give them away.
Let's go all the way back to 1967. I was 3 years old.
Oh, no.
Okay.
John, you were probably 7 years old.
No. Wrong. I was in 67. I was 9 or 10.
Yeah.
Well, do the math. 67. I was born to 60. I was 11 exactly.
11.
1967. I was hanging in the whiskey dressing room with Dwayne Allman.
Don't up me, buddy. Don't try to up me right now.
I'm telling you, that's the truth.
Anyway, could we just play the song?
Yes.
Thank you.
The song is called "The Rain, the Park, and Other Things."
That I had a hit at 11 years old
by the Cow Sills.
Very boss. Glockenspiel is so cool.
Man.
The little bells.
Your siblings were great out at the Canyon Club a couple weeks ago.
Yep. They're the best.
Yep. They were having the best time.
They're on the Happy Together tour. Yep. Yes.
Right, with Mark and Howard.
Mark and Howard, mm-hmm. Turtles. And they just have the best time. This is their third year with them, and they're on their fourth, and I wish I could do it with them, but they just cannot afford me.
They do. They sing great.
They have so much fun on that.
They really do.
And hearing that song, I never listened to this, and I rarely hear it on the radio. And so when you played that with these earphones on, it was wonderful. Thank you.
Oh, excellent. And you're dancing around, and then it dawned on me out when I saw them at the Canyon Club. I'm like, oh, these are your brother
family.
That's your family. Your brother and your sister-in-law.
Right.
So that was so nice that you were there to support.
It's always, if I can be there, I am there, because I just, you know, I love it. They do have the best time. They sing like nobody. I mean, there's just not a sound on the planet that like those harmonies from that family.
Yeah, everyone was good that night, but there were a couple groups that were better, and the Cow Sills were definitely on the top. For sure.
They got hired for a fourth year, and nobody does that.
No.
They usually keep it down one or two at the most. Mm-hmm. So they're happy to have that. They're so grateful, too. They love doing it. So
speaking of just family stuff, Vicky, I have a question for you. Who's the best drummer you've ever recorded with?
You're getting me in trouble.
I know.
Are you
I'll
serious?
Answer. If she gives the wrong answer, I'll give you the right one.
Let's hear one more. I refuse
to answer that question on the grounds that it might incriminate me.
I didn't think you would answer.
Two family members who are like, what?
What?
What? Let's hear a little Indian Link.
Yay.
I don't like that.
You take a bus mark, Lakewood Drive, and you keep on riding till you're out of the city. Yeah.
love songs like that. That's yes, I do. I really do.
I'll leave it alone.
We were kids. Come on.
No, stop. our life took a turn for the worse when that song happened. Seriously, it did, because that's the beginning of Bubblegum. And when you want to be the Beatles and the Rolling Stones, and your dad's telling you you have to have this new producer. And I don't discredit Wes for anything that he did great and everything, but the song itself, and I love Tony Romeo. He wrote some great songs. In fact, they hijacked Wes Farrell and Tony Romeo to go produce the Partridge Family. So they left our crib and went and really hit a pay hole there.
Yeah.
But they were trying to, they weren't trying to make you not a good band. They were just trying to get you guys on the radio and get a hit for you, right?
Yeah, we didn't want that. And my dad said, "You're doing this." And my brother Bill, the demo of it was just a crock of shit. And, you know, as he likes to say, he whipped that into some pop kind of acceptable bullshit.
It's a good record, though.
It's a good record. Whatever. And it's funny because we were playing at the Troubadour, and it was during a dark period for us where we weren't playing our hits as the Cows. So we were now called the Secrets or the Critics. And we were going around town. We were working with Chuck Plotkin as a producer, and we just didn't want to do our old stuff. We were trying to get removed because, you know, we were still at that age where it hurts us still. And there's some guy in the freaking audience, and he's pounding on the table. He's being unruly. It's like, dude, we don't do that. Stop. It was Brian Wilson.
You wouldn't even make an exception for Brian Wilson.
We didn't know it was Brian Wilson.
What if you did know?
We would have done it. Right. We didn't recognize him. He wasn't acting like the guy we knew from the early days.
How old was the oldest Cowsill sibling at that time that would have to talk to your dad?
Oh, well, I'm the youngest boy, so my oldest brother was Bill, but he was kicked out by my dad 20. For smoking pot. In his 20s, So, I mean, we were just young all the whole time.
Yeah.
And then, you know, my dad was a sergeant at arms, a great Santini, and so you just jumped into, otherwise you pee in your pants, you know, but he was not a nice guy. So, you know, literally he throws my brother out of the band, out of a station wagon, takes his guitar, throws it on a lawn, and we continue on tour right out the frickin' driveway, not kidding. And everybody just got really quiet and scared to death to say anything. And I know how I felt, but my brother Bob, who was his partner, was the one who took the hit. And all of a sudden, we're going on the road without our lead singer and main force. He was our Brian Wilson, and my dad just got rid of him. Unlike the Beach Boys, who got rid of their dad. Man, what a concept. Why didn't we think of that?
I had no idea playing that song would elicit such emotion.
It did.
It
was a nightmare.
A little bit of
and
a therapy session.
It went down. We got lucky with Hair because we...
I loved the way you guys did Hair.
That was for a TV show, though. We did that ourselves.
If I play Hair, will we get you back in a better mood?
Yes, sir, play Hair.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, goodness.
I love that record.
I'm Harry, high and low. But don't ask me why. Because he don't know. It's not for lack of bread, like the grateful dead, darling. Give me a head with hair, long, beautiful hair, shining, gleaming, streaming, flaxen, waxing. Give me down to there, shoulder length longer. Here, baby, there, mama.
That's great.
And that's live.
I have to go on record.
No.
Hold on. I have to go on record and say that is like my favorite recorded bass part.
That guy is 14 years old. Listen to the bass part on Hair. He's McCartney. He grew up playing McCartney bass.
You guys all played great on that record, and there were no session musicians on that one.
Oh, you played great on that. I was the weak link in the band then.
Oh my God. I was.
No, because when you're going through puberty and trying to play drums, it took 57 takes because
of
the drummer.
It sounds amazing.
That's a great record.
But we did do it ourselves, and it was for a fashion show. It wasn't supposed to be
a
record. It was never a record.
Yeah.
And I know that the first time I ever heard the song Hair, it was the Cowsills version.
I didn't know from Broadway. I knew there was a Broadway play, but that was the first version I heard and the only one for a long time, and I liked it much more when I finally
heard
it.
What year was that? Was the record?
69.
Angela and I. Maybe it was recorded in 68 and released in 69.
Yeah, it was released in 69.
Must have been because we do, because the TV show.
I think I'd heard your version first. Angela and I went to see Hair at the Aquarius Theater in 69.
Then you heard our version first, yeah. For sure. Yeah, because I used to go in New York when when it was the New York version, and the music had been formed and they did it, but it was in New York City. It was off Broadway first, and that's the version I saw. And then the Aquarius Theater, it's like, for some reason my mother wouldn't let me go. It's like, what?
Because people were naked.
And they were naked in New York.
Did you go in New York?
Yes, they just didn't talk about that. And the way they filmed it, you wouldn't have blinked. You would have missed it anyway. So.
You guys made a great record.
Thank you.
Yes.
It was fun. All right. Moving on.
And Bill, you and Angela, you're really like brother and sister, it sounds like. Because her name has come up quite a few times.
We were brother and sister on the television series. Then we dated each other for a couple of years.
Okay.
And then we weren't like brother and sister.
That was special brother.
It was
and
a different relationship.
But now,
and then we, you know, I mean, I've been married for over 30 years. She's been married 40 years. So that part of our relationship stopped a long time ago. And yes, I suppose we're more brother and sister-y. Again, we have a very interesting relationship because very few people can really relate to the whole child star thing. And she certainly with Danny Thomas, Lost in Space, Sound of Music, has that pedigree. I kind of have that pedigree. And we shared a trailer growing up in school from 10 to 14 and stuff. So it was an interesting relationship. And then it became that other thing. And we collaborate well on projects together.
Cool.
Yeah, she's a great girl.
Before I move over to Vicky, I do want to say you were one of the first celebrity sightings when I moved out to L.A. 22 years ago.
Awesome. Wow.
It was in Toys R Us in Burbank.
Okay, yeah.
You were with your son, I assume.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw you, and I was going to say, but then you were with your son, so I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. But you were. It was a really nice moment because you were telling them that he couldn't get both things. He had to choose which one he wanted.
Wow,
yeah.
Cool.
And I thought,
he's a lawyer now.
Okay. I was like, hey, that's good parenting.
We used to go there all the time. Yeah. It was probably a Power Ranger project.
Was he a Power Ranger kid?
Unbelievable.
Oh, really? Will, too.
Unbelievable. Oh, it was a religion for him.
I still have the original five down in the
house. I kept all his toys.
Yeah.
I kept them all.
Taking a turn.
In a big Tupperware thing in storage
but
so that
red,
one day he'll
red
have
Red Ranger,
them all.
Man.
Yeah.
He was the Red Ranger.
Yeah.
God.
Vicky Peterson. Bangles. Continental Drifters.
Yes.
Psycho Sisters.
Yes.
You were even a go-go, kind of.
Briefly.
Yeah.
I was known as a Vic Fix side chick.
I like that.
Yeah.
And then there was also this band, just the Bangs.
Yes.
This song is called Getting Out of Hand.
I love this.
This was written by you.
Yes.
And this was the Bangs Girls' first single.
Bangs is his golden.
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
You have to play the whole thing.
John's dancing.
Who's playing, who played
we
bass
weren't,
on
We
that?
Weren't 60s. Let's see. Debbie played on the A side. I played on the B side of that
single.
Yeah, we didn't have a bass player.
Wow.
I mean, we were in between bass players.
The bass sounded really good.
The thing that I like to tell people in case they don't know, I make sure they know, is because I think because of MTV, a lot of people think that Susanna Hoffs is the lead singer of the Bangles. And that's not true. Everyone sings lead vocal.
Yes.
So for whatever reason, those were the singles or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I like to let people know, no, that's not how it's going to go.
Awesome.
And when I had Debbie on, I only played songs that Debbie sang.
Nice.
And when you're here, so I'm only going to play songs that
that's
you sang.
That's not necessary.
No, no.
Well, because Susanna sang that one, actually.
Yes, she did, but I played that one. I played that one because you wrote it.
Yes, I did.
So, and it was the first.
True.
Right.
It's very true.
Okay. So we're going to move on to a song called Want You.
Ah, yes.
A very supportive husband. Drums. Love it.
Oh, I love that.
So awesome.
So these were all released last year.
Yes.
We released, too long. I've been trying to get this done for years and years and years, but we finally were able to re-release the EP from which that track came, and the 45 and some other nuggets from times.
Past. We'll call them rarities.
And so we were able to put that out last year.
Yeah, and get if you're a Bengals completist, you have to have
it. You have to have that.
So seek that out.
No home should be without.
No home should be without. Will there be new Bengals music down the road? Because Sweetheart of the Sun, for me, is my favorite Bengals album.
And that's great.
For some reason, this could not be true. I think that maybe you guys have wanted to sound like you do on that record for a long, long time.
Yes,
I just like the vibe of that and the sound of it.
I think Sweetheart was definitely representative of who we are and always have been as a band, because it is, again, it's a companion piece. It's also canyon music. Like it was inspired by thinking about musicians from the golden age of the Laurel Canyon scene. There was a book written called Girls Like Us, and it was about Joni Mitchell and Carole King and Carly Simon. And it focused a lot on that era of songwriting. And so that was something that we just, we definitely wore our influences on our shirt sleeves.
I love it a lot.
Skirt sleeves.
since I jumped the gun and jumped the whole way to that album, I'll play Circles in the Sky. John, you just like everyone. You like them all.
Yeah, as
everybody at this table knows, that's not true. I just happen to like the ones that you're playing.
Okay, cool.
Small and high, a boy watches the sky turning to monochrome. When they ask him, do you know where in the whole world you will go? He says, I wanna go
I've purchased this album many times for other people and just given it to them. Here, take this. And they'll be like, no offense to this, but they'll be like, the Bengals.
What?
I'm like, seriously, just give it a listen. And then they come back. They're like, wow, that's a great album. That's the album that we play at parties now. That's what they say.
I love that. So. Well, I did write that song for John, so he's allowed to like that song.
Oh, is that one?
Can you believe the love that I have received? He writes me Luckiest Man Alive. She writes Circle in the Sky.
Mike makes you play two sets. I mean, there's love from everyone.
You know what? When I'm out there, I would like to do nothing but play.
Yeah.
It's the traveling and everything else other than being
If you could just beam yourself on stage, Star Trek style.
I don't care if I play for 3 hours. I'll play all night. That's the fun part. The bad part is just not being home.
When you come home, do you play drums at home? Is there a trap set?
He plays them at my house.
Yeah, I mean, there's a drum set at home, but no, I usually don't.
Because it feels like work to play at home?
No, it just, I don't allow myself to be a musician at home.
Okay.
I allow myself to be a domestic partner. Okay. I've always done that. It's like, what projects? I'm a builder, so, I mean, I will I change the windows out of the house. I'll build a new corner of the atrium. I mean, I am a master finished carpenter. I really am. So there's always physical things that I've always done. If I didn't have a gig playing drums, I didn't know how to get a gig if my phone didn't ring. So I had to come up with something else to do. So I'm a carpenter.
That's excellent.
Yeah. I know. I'm no dummy.
Again, look at this guy. look at that guy in the back of this. I didn't think I was gonna like him.
Yeah, I know he's tough.
Now look at him.
He's tough.
This looks like a badass carpenter on the back here.
Yeah, he does. Don't mess with him. Don't mess with him.
If I were a carpenter and you were my lady.
When listeners found out that you were coming on the show, Vicky, they had a lot of them had this same question, which I told them I'm gonna ask that, so don't worry about this. Okay. This is from a song from the album Everything. Make a Play for Her Now.
Ah, yes.
People want to know how you got hooked up with Vinnie Vincent or Vincent Cusano.
Vincent Cusano, yes.
But Vinnie Vincent from the Lick It Up era of Kiss.
That's right.
Who is kind of, I think, like he's, what do I want to say, off the radar and maybe a little, I'll use the word wacky.
They're just talking about him right now. He's got a new thing coming.
He's got a new thing coming out.
I'm not joking. Go ahead.
Anyway. Okay. So how does Vicki Peterson hook up with Vinnie Vincent? And was there ever a chance that there'd be an album called Vicky and Vinnie?
Vicky and Vinnie.
No.
We didn't get that far.
All right.
But we, appropriately enough, met at a rock and roll club.
Okay.
At a party at a rock club. And just we were hanging out and I was talking. I was like, oh my God, it's Vinnie Vincent. That's so weird. And he was perfectly charming and lovely. Okay. And it was sort of, hey, we should write something. I'm like, yeah, sure. Like, that'll never happen. But somehow it did happen. And I went to his perfectly charming little home in the valley. And here was the kicker for me. I looked through his record collection.
Oh, okay.
And he had the Mamas and Papas and the Cowsills.
No.
Yes. And other, you know, he had full-on vocal groups, you know, pop groups in his record collection. So I said,
this
is going to be fine. So we started, and the whole song started around a 12 string guitar, which I think we ended up tripling. So there's like 36 guitar strings.
Wow. I like that.
And this was straight up just to write a song, because I always think rock guys in rock bands, especially guys in Kiss, might be creepy. So, but there was no.
There was no other room.
Okay, cool.
Animals. It was.
Oh, that's fantastic. Okay. Well, we got to play it. This is from Everything. Another Bangles album, I love. Make a Play for Her Now. Fantastic.
I don't think I've heard that for like 20 years.
Well, yeah, because you don't listen to your own music.
I don't.
Might catch one of the hits on the radio, yeah, but you're not going to dig deep into the your own catalog.
Yesterday or the day before,
we don't listen to us.
Egyptian was on the radio, and I was like, okay,
I don't think I've heard that one. What's that one called?
It's a little obscure number. Yeah, something about the Middle East. I don't know.
Now, I'm going to say this. I'm a big fan of The Police, and I don't think The Police made one bad studio album. I think I love all five of their albums, and I feel the same way about the Bangles. I think you guys hit it out of the park every time. I love every single one of you.
Was Everything Davin, or was that?
That was Davitt.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Davitt
Sigerson.
He was great.
Producer.
Yeah,
because you guys worked with David...
David Kahn. We survived David Kahn.
Yeah, your sister did not like him.
Mark McGrath. I was talking...
Yeah.
I said, I'm going to get t-shirts made up saying, I survived David Kahn, because... he was tough in the studio, and yet a brilliant producer, no question. Learned enormous amount from him. Took years to forget half of it, and tried to therapy to forget half of it. But he taught us a lot, and he just brilliant. But he was tough, and it wasn't just, you know, I talked to people who've worked with him, and Mark McGrath just recently completely confirmed me and said, yes, he made grown men cry. He did. He did.
Wow.
I said, I don't think he's making Paul McCartney cry, but he, you know.
And did he work at Columbia? Is that why?
Yeah, he was staff producer.
Staff producer. That's what I was looking for.
I'm not sure how happy he was to get assigned this girl group that they didn't know what to do with, but he did well. He did well by us, actually.
Did he treat you like you were just a girl group? Is that how?
It's very complicated.
Okay.
I wouldn't say he treated us like a girl group, because I'm not sure that anyone really knew what that meant at the time, even. And I think he did not have a lot of faith in our abilities, I'll put it that way.
Oh.
He did not.
That sucks.
Yeah, that does suck.
And you're so ambassadorial, by the way.
You're really diplomatic
about this.
I'd be going for the jugular myself.
This guy took his dad down five minutes ago. You won't talk about him. I'm not looking for gossip when I'm asking these questions.
No, I know. And, you know, it's just because I have to...
You may run into him.
I am somebody who is... I have a strange ability to be empathetic. I can see both sides of a situation, which doesn't always serve me well in life. But in this case, I'm looking at David Kahn and thinking, this is what he was at a critical point of his career. Mm-hmm. He needed a hit. He was, you know, all of, I think, maybe 33 years old, but, you know, he needed to really show these guys that he knew what he was doing. And he was handed this band that had very little studio experience and needed to make something of it.
Well, you guys gave him the hits that he needed.
We gave him a lot. We gave him a lot to work with. You know, whether or not he really appreciates that or not, I don't know.
maybe in retrospect, he does. Maybe not. Let's play. I still got a ton of bangers, but we're going to move to Bill.
Uh-oh.
Billy.
Oh, how dare you.
I'm allowed, he said.
So, now forgive me. I didn't not know that you had this vast catalog.
You're forgiven.
Of music.
It's cool.
So I go to iTunes and I you know, I'm listening to clips and stuff. So I picked three songs that I think are pretty great. And I hope that when people hear your stuff, that they go and buy it. Because that's what I love about this show is almost every email I get says, dude, you're costing me so much money because I'm buying so much music that I never heard before.
That's nice.
So
to turn people on.
That's what I like. So we're going to go to 2009. The album's called Carnival Sky, and this song is called, because it's a little chilly in here right now, this is Blizzard of Time.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
Snow kept falling, rivers froze, cold confessions, highway closed, tumbling words, you could lose your mind. Memories like birds flying through a blizzard of time. Trees cracking, color gone.
Now, when I hear this song, is this you playing all the instruments, or how does that
played everything on that, except it's a drum loop from that Russ Kunkel laid down.
Oh, okay.
It definitely sounded. I was just going to say, did you get Russ for that?
Yeah.
That it was awesome.
It's so Russ, right?
That's so him.
I know.
Oh my God!
It's so cool to have that singular thing, and you just hear that Tom, and you know it's Russ.
I love that a drummer knew from that loop that it was Russ Kunkel.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Just he's got his own sound and his own style, and the way he lands and the boink of his toms where they pop back at you.
Yeah, it's a technical term.
Undeniably,
Russ co-produced an album of mine and played all the drums and percussion. I've known Russ since 1969. He played on our very, very, very first demo.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah,
he's legendary.
That's amazing. Yeah. I saw him. I think I saw him live with James Taylor, way back in 81.
Him and Lee. Him and Lee.
Oh my God!
Those two always together. Lee Sklar and him.
Great rhythm section, and then Carlos.
And Carlos, absolutely.
I was talking to Lisa Loeb was on the show, and Lee plays with her. And I said, oh, it's so cool that you have James Taylor's bass player in your band. And she goes, he's my bass player. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm sorry.
She's his guitar player. I'd twist that another way.
That's like Mick is Charlie's lead singer.
Exactly.
He is not Mick's drummer.
After he punched him in the mouth.
After he punched him in the face.
They start their tour in Hamburg in four days.
Oh, that's awesome, man. I know.
2015. Mm-hmm. Now, just because this is 6 years later, it doesn't mean that albums haven't come out.
Right.
From 2000. I'm letting the audience know.
Okay.
Because you, again, a massive.
Well, like one
music.
A year. It's
but that's pretty impressive.
It is.
It's very impressive.
Bill has his next CD is his anthology, and it's 200,000 years
We're living in a world where a season of a television show now is 10 episodes.
That's true.
Okay, when I was doing Lost in Space, we did 30 episodes a season. Then we took a little 8-week break. And we worked 9 or 10 months a year. And during that 8-week break, maybe you'd either go make a movie or you'd do a bunch of guest shots and stuff. So the
summer
idea.
Summer replacement shows. I mean, it was fun.
I've always, even people like Dylan, I mean, the idea that you'd put a record out every year wasn't a stretch.
No. And so, Neil Young still does it pretty much. It seems like he hasn't.
Look how many records like Ryan Adams put out 10 years ago or something. I mean, I'm not trying to compete with anybody. And if I don't have the songs, I won't put it out.
But I'm not making fun of you for being so prolific. I just think it's really cool that this music is out there. And now people can go and they're going to be like, I just bought 11 Bill Mumy albums.
Well, thank you.
This is from an album called 10 Days. And by the way, Carnival Sky, very scary, creepy cover. It's a very scary cover.
Well, we didn't want it to be a picture of me.
No. Wait. I mean, why not?
It's just an old doll.
Well, wait, that's not a picture of you?
Ooh.
Come on, I'm kidding. this song is called Too Far Away Now.
Oh.
I hope that was a good all.
So I actually have to tell you a little 10-day story.
Yes, please do.
When Rick passed away, I got very depressed because as you have said, you know, I've done a lot of solo records and I play a lot of the instruments on my records. And I really was so emotionally happy to be in a group because Action Skulls are really a group. It's not like we layer. We, you know, it's a real everybody.
We're a group.
Nobody tells anybody else what their parts are, and we find them together. So I was pretty bummed out when Rick passed away, and I got into a funk there, and I mandated to myself that I was going to go into my studio with a blank slate and record a song a day for 10 days.
Oh, wow.
And
that's cool.
I couldn't use anything that I'd had, like half finished, no bits that I could use. It was just a canvas a day. And I had to finish each song that day, right? I couldn't go back. I couldn't remix it or anything. So most of the songs on 10 Days are really, when I look back on them, they're all about Rick. And that song's about Rick.
Yeah, and so that's emotional, obviously.
Yeah, but it was, you know what? It got me out of the funk.
Mm-hmm.
I made music. I made 10 songs a day. I didn't know if it was necessarily worthy of being put out as a record, but I thought as a piece, as you know, thematically, that I thought it was worthy of sharing.
So that album that's an album that you made for yourself, but now you give it to other people and you don't really probably ever go back and listen to that because it's so emotional.
Yeah, I don't listen to that. I listen to some of my stuff, but I haven't listened to that in a couple of years.
Wouldn't you know that's the one I picked?
I like that song, though.
Awesome.
It made me, I remember the process, you know, when I heard that.
Now.
When I first heard that, not today, but when you did that and I heard that, I thought it was very Fleetwood Mac, Lindsey Buckingham.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah.
To me. Oh, God, yes.
Yeah.
There was that air about it that.
I only used 2 guitars on the whole record, you know, 1 bass. I mean, it was very, it was like these two, this, nothing. It was very quickly done, obviously.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was an experiment.
It was different.
But it got me out of a funk, and it was a
that's
nice
good.
Way to kind of
therapeutic.
Honor. Yeah, absolutely.
Since you brought up Lindsey Buckingham, I wanted to ask, because I love that new Buckingham McVie album. Yeah. Have you guys heard it?
Yeah.
What music do you listen to, like in the car or at home? Do you guys, since you're making music, do you also listen to music? Are you looking for new music, or do you just listen to old music? Vicky?
I have been going through a phase where I don't listen to a lot of music, unless I stumble across something, and it's usually like something I hear on NPR or something, and I get interested and will listen to. But it's been a while since I've really, you know, bands that I've really got excited about. First Aid Kit, I think I loved them.
Okay.
And listened to their last record. But yeah, it's funny. I'm very eclectic, so I'm all over the map when it comes to listening to music.
Okay, cool. John?
I play so much music.
That you don't want to listen to music?
It's not even that, but I find myself getting into a vehicle and somebody has their radio on and it's loud. It has to be good, or else, like, I'm going to tell you to turn it down or turn it off, and that's normally what I do, and it's probably not a good thing, but, and if I do put something on, it's definitely something old that I love.
Gotcha.
It definitely is. I don't reach out for new music. It comes across to me from my son and my daughter sometimes, or even Vicky, who's better about new music than I am, but I'm not good about it, and I admit that. I'm sorry, all you new people.
I listen to music constantly, and I would say more often than not, it's vintage stuff. Mm-hmm. Today, I was listening to Muddy Waters before John and Vicky came over. I was listening to Peter Green's Fleetwood Mac. Although I did buy the Lindsey and Christine record, and I love to hear that rhythm section. I thought it was a little lyrically lacking, mm-hmm. but I thought, you know, sonically, it's great. I've been listening to the Mills Brothers.
Oh my gosh.
I love the Mills Brothers.
Like, I mean, really, like, that's inspiring stuff to me, because I wasn't exposed to that until recently, because my mother used to like that. But I'll tell you something, the Kingston Trio, right? The original Kingston Trio. This
I'm going to go to the bathroom. We could be talking a while.
No, I'm kidding. Just going to say how it really did. They were my catalyst for wanting to become a musician.
Cool.
I was hit by the folk music thing and the Kingston Trio's energy. But one of the things that the Kingston Trio did that very few artists have done since was they had a tendency to divvy up their verse vocals. So Bob Shane would sing a verse, and then Nick Reynolds would sing a verse, and then they'd have a three-part chorus, and then Dave Gard would sing a verse, and they'd have a three-part chorus. Traveling Wilburys did that a little bit, and the band used to do that with Levon and Rick Danko and Richard Manuel.
And the Bangles did it.
And you get...
Walk Like an Egyptian.
Yes. But we applied that to Action Skulls quite a bit. The majority of the tunes have the verses divvied up, and then we come together and in harmony in the chorus. So yeah. I think it was that old vintage Kingston Trio thing that helped that become a part of a modern Action Skulls project.
That's cool. I want to play one more song, solo song from you, Bill. This is from your last album, Velour.
Mm-hmm.
This is If I Ever Make It Back to Laurel Canyon.
Oh, I love that song.
Too smart to play this game. Too old to throw a fit. I'm sick of all this traveling. Yeah, I've had my fill of it. Shut that big front door.
Your voice on that song reminds me a little bit of Roger McGuinn. It has like a birdsish quality,
you know,
to it.
The Birds were my band when I was a teenager, mm-hmm. so to speak. And obviously, you know, there's a 12-string and that Clarence White B bender on that. It's a very birdsy awesome. Track.
And the words Laurel Canyon are in the title, so
yeah.
It's got to sound.
Yeah, they were an influence. They continue to resonate in things I do. I was at a gig in Florida and I got the flu. So that's why I talked to you about this. I got the flu and I had like 102 or 103 fever and I was just so sick and I had to go out and work, and I wrote that song, you know, on the airplane, just go, get me home, please, just get me home. And I was talking to John about that because he does 180 whatever shows a year, and I said, what happens when you get sick? He goes, we get out and play.
So we sweat it out.
Yeah.
Oh, he's sick.
That's it.
Oh no.
Bless you, baby.
All right, we're gonna play two more tracks, and then maybe you guys will play live, and then I'll play some more Action Skulls.
Wow.
Action Skulls.
Loving it.
Okay, so you, John, you play two songs. You play drum on two songs on the most recent Beach Boys album.
I do.
You do.
Okay.
That's what I looked up, and that's what it says.
I never know what I've played on.
It says that you played on The Private Life of Bill and Sue.
Oh.
And a song called Beaches in Mind.
Probably.
Which one should I play?
Private Life.
Can you
of
confirm
Bill
this?
And Sue. I think pretty sure
they're
he
both
does.
Pretty interesting. Go ahead and play The Life of Bill and Sue.
All right.
Private life of Bill and Sue. Can you dig what I'm telling you?
No hands.
No one knows just why we care. We see their faces everywhere.
Hands.
The strangest story you ever knew. The private life of Bill and Sue.
Cool. Very nice.
Yeah, come on,
very
Brian.
Very nice.
Brian sounded good. You sounded good. Come on.
That was fun.
Yeah.
And now we're going to play a Psycho Sister song.
Oh, yeah.
I got two. You can. Psychos. I'm going to let you pick.
Who's playing drums on it?
Who's playing drums? Oh, this is a good story. You asked about the drummers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when the Psychos went into recording, because both Susan Cowsill, my Psycho Sister, mm-hmm. and I are married to drummers.
God, so we're the Psycho Brothers.
So the Psycho Brothers, we had to sort of divvy up the assignments.
The drum action.
Yes, and it was very interesting.
And there's even watching a couple where we both play on it because we couldn't grab the feel that the other guy had for this part of this song. Oh, my God, it's hilarious. So we've done it live where I'll be behind him and he'll play like the verse and I'll come and I'll play the chorus.
He'll just take over the kit.
That's crazy.
These two songs, I don't know. If I say these songs, will you know who played drums on them?
Go ahead,
possibly.
Either Wish You or Numb.
Did you
I don't remember what I played on. Just play it.
Numb is great. That's
if it's
great
really song. Good, I'm going to say it's me.
I got to open for the Psycho Sisters.
That's right.
It's all a family
affair. I'm going to go. Okay, I'm going to defer to Bill and play Numb. Okay.
Yeah, I like that.
If you want, I'll share these things.
That's Russ Broussard.
What you? From my veins, swallow them like comfort food. I wanna be gum, gum. I can smell you.
That's a great record, by the way.
Thank you so much.
Very nice.
We had a blast. That's another we Action Skulls drove Bill crazy in taking 3 years to do Angels
Here. This only
Here.
Took 20.
But yeah, when I told him that it did take 20 years to get the Psycho Sisters record, he looked at me with this look of fear and horror on his face, like, we're not doing that, are we?
No, we have a pact now. The next record takes three months, right?
And then the one after that is 3 weeks. Yes. So, but yeah, Susan Cowsill and I, we worked together and started writing together back in 92. And this record was actually finished in 2012. So thank you very much.
But you finished it, though.
You don't want to rush anything.
In its own time, man. Everything in its own time. It's got to be ready.
I work with Chuck Plotkin, who says you can't rush creativity.
That's right. He's right.
I put
Chuck
out an album a year, and this is what I'm doing.
See?
It's a karmic reward.
You must be steering this ship,
he
then.
He gets the patience award.
He tries to. And
he
it's
does
like,
try.
It's, poor baby. He is painstaking with us. With
I'm
my schedule
straight
and
to the horse latitudes.
Because we are dealing with somebody who
We're
does
crazy.
Five albums an hour.
Yeah.
He might be laying down tracks as we speak.
I wrote a couple songs while
on the way here. Yeah.
All right, let me play one more song off the album right now, and then
excellent.
You guys can maybe treat me to. And this is always weird when people play live, and then I'm just one person audience. I'm just like, I don't know where to look. I don't know. Do I look them in the eye? Do I look at the floor?
We'll look at you in the eye, and it'll be laughing on the clap. It's fine.
Let's play. I'm going to play the. You're not going to play The Beast and the Best, right?
We are not.
Okay, let me play a little of The Beast and the Best.
bow for the way you kiss. Put me into a state of bliss. You're a breakthrough, honey. You're a superstar. I wanna get next to wherever you are. Silver screen, you hit me hard, knocked me out clean. You're the
now, I'm not just saying this because you're in front of me, but I listened to the album in the car, like I said, two or three times. But listening to it in the headphones, it's like I'm listening to it all over again. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty great.
Yeah, because in here, mm-hmm. it catches everything.
Yeah, it's
it catches
pretty cool.
But there's a consistency to the mix, too. It's like Vicky's guitar's here, my guitar's here throughout the whole thing. There's little, and there are little spinny things
that
are in there.
We did it with headphones in mind.
Yeah.
So, as opposed to earbuds.
Also, it says it was mastered by Dave Peterson. Is that?
Is my brother.
That's your brother.
My baby brother. He's actually mastered every record I've done this century.
Terrific.
I realized. Yeah. He's quite amazing, and he did a great job.
We keeping it in the family.
Yeah, you certainly are. Okay, so what do you guys? You guys want to grab these guitars?
Sure,
you want to get comfortable?
Yes.
I'll aim some microphones at you. Yeah, you can take a break.
Let's make it as mono as possible.
Live from the Rock Solid Studios.
Ever. Oh
my God. Action Skulls.
The phones are lighting up. One, two, three, four.
That was fantastic. That sounded great. All right.
We love doing it.
You guys are professionals.
That's fun. We don't know that.
That was fantastic.
That's once.
That would imply that we get paid.
Dude, we did it.
You'll get paid in album sales.
We did it. No mistakes, no nothing.
Skull ring. Kiss.
Shut up.
Mine's in my drumstick.
Oh, you guys have action skull rings.
Oh, we do.
I want to tell you the story.
Okay.
No, Bill should tell it because he's really sweet. He did it for us. He got Christmas presents for Rick, Vicky, and myself.
Oh, that's nice.
He had his skull ring casted. So we have the exact same ring that Bill Mumy is wearing, that he always wears.
So you've had a skull ring for a long time.
Yes.
For 31 years.
Yeah.
Is that because Keith wears a skull ring?
No, but it's certainly, I mean, you know. It's because, but I love Keith and the Stones Outlaw rock and roll thing. So, yeah, I mean, it's a part of the reason.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's the best reason. We love Keith Richards.
And Keith can't get his rings off anymore, I don't think.
They're grafted to him.
Yeah, they're grafted to him.
That's fine.
Excellent. Good. Maybe can I take a picture of those rings later?
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Yeah, but mine's in my stick bag.
That's okay. You don't care. Can you wear jewelry when you drum, or is not a good thing?
I can do anything I want.
Hey, hope everyone enjoyed today's episode of the Rock Solid Podcast with my very special guests, Action Skulls. Vicky, John, and Bill were fantastic. I also wanted to let you know that this episode of the podcast was brought to you by Bose, the engineers behind some of the world's best audio products, including the Bose Quiet Comfort 35 noise-canceling headphones. Bose literally invented the technology of noise canceling almost 40 years ago because they believe that by blocking out unwanted sounds and distractions, you can get immersed in what you truly love. Today, all of us on the Rock Solid Podcast wore the Bose Quiet Comfort 35 headphones. I'm talking about Vicky, I'm talking about John, I'm talking about Bill, and I'm talking about Pat. We all wore these during our recording because we want to hear what you're going to hear. Bose, get closer. And now back to the show. Man, I hope you guys play a show out in LA when John gives the word.
Yeah.
Because that was fantastic.
It's really cool.
Excellent. Yeah. That's good stuff.
Action Skulls, live from Earth.
Damn right.
In reality.
And real quick, if I didn't ask you, It's a Good Life.
Mm.
Fantastic, obviously. Yeah. I also like the sequel. Did you like the sequel?
Loved. I wouldn't have done it if I didn't like the sequel.
Cool.
To be able to work with Cloris again, Cloris Leachman, on that iconic character, and mostly to work with my daughter, Liliana, who was just... brilliant in that, I felt. And, they couldn't have been nicer at the Twilight Zone. They basically said, we want to do this sequel. And I said, I got to read it, because it's something that...
Because it's perfect.
It's been called a classic. Mm-hmm. And, sometimes you don't want to mess with that. And the guy who produced it and wrote that, Ira Bear, sent me a rough draft. And I just said, I felt like Rod Serling would have said, yeah.
Yeah.
So we had a great time doing that.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And I talk to people now that some people don't even know there was a sequel. Yeah. And I go, go find it because it's really cool.
I think it's on YouTube.
I think it's on YouTube also.
Yeah, I tell some people to check that one out.
I didn't know.
Well, it's on YouTube.
But I watched the original every Thanksgiving.
It's mandatory. You have to.
Marathon. Oh,
yeah,
those
old Twilight Zones hold up pretty well. Proud to be a part of those numbers.
Action Skulls. Let's talk about Action Skulls.
I want to thank Carrie Baker from
Kunkaroo
Publicity for giving me the CD so that I could pull the clips for today's show and so that you three could sign this. So that
he told us to pick up the check for that as well.
Okay. How much is this?
It's $32 for you.
Oh boy,
special price.
I got the first live performance I got from you guys, and this no one can hold this in their hands now. But
no,
me.
You have true. The first.
Do you even have these at your homes?
I got one in my bag. I'll sell you one.
I have a few at the house, but you're the first. That's the first signed copy ever anywhere.
One lucky listener will get this, and then five lucky listeners will get some Bangles CDs signed by Miss Vicky Peterson.
Wow, let me see that.
I want to tell you that when I didn't know I was going to have the guys with me originally. I just wanted Vicky.
I haven't signed that.
He just wanted me. You missed that part.
Oh, you didn't sign it. Yeah, I just wanted Vicky. So I had like a million Bangles songs in, but then when I found out these guys were coming. We didn't
crashing
play it.
Crashing the party.
Yeah, crashing the party.
That's okay. We're so sorry, Pat.
I'll come back.
Well, thank you for divvying up the pie.
Well, well, you guys were fantastic.
We're Skulls, man.
Yeah. So Action Skulls will be released on September 29th, Friday. Get your new music. 11 tracks. They're all great. Every song on this album is great. I am not kidding. I am not trying to sell CDs because I don't see anything from it. A nice picture of you guys, all nice pictures of you guys inside. Nice picture of Rick. Again, rock and peace, Rick.
Rock and peace.
Do you guys, now you're on Twitter.
Yes, I am.
So where can we find you on Twitter, Vicky?
At Vicky Bangle.
At Vicky Bangle. John, are you a social media guy at all?
I really am not. I had to come out of social media hibernation because these guys were pressuring me to have a Facebook page again.
All right, so we can go like your Facebook page.
There is an Action Skulls.
No, go to the Action Skulls.
The Action Skulls Facebook page.
I will be over there.
Okay, cool.
I'm always monitoring Action Skulls. I don't monitor John Cowsill, right. But I will for those who really need to go there. But you don't need to go there because it's not really much fun on my personal site.
No, you do need to go there so you can find out about this great record.
I know, and it tells you that when you go there, for sure.
Okay, cool. We have an Action Skulls Facebook page, and we have an Action Skulls website that's connected to BillMumy.com.
But no Action Skull Twitter.
No
Action Skull Twitter yet. I'm on my Facebook page a lot. I like Facebook.
Cool.
And I Instagram a little bit.
I have an Instagram account, but I don't know how it works. I was told to get one.
You're cute.
People that make
but
their
you're
living.
Cute.
He makes his living beating things, so he can't. You
I
know,
do.
He can only
hits
process
things
so
with
much.
Sticks.
That's
for
right.
Living, as I
but
like
I just want to say, Action Skulls can also be pre-ordered over at Amazon.
Yes, it can.
I just wanted to tell that.
It can.
Yep.
It can.
Yes,
it can.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
And you can also you'll be able to buy the
you'll
MP3s there. Download it. Yep. Within moments. Tomorrow. From the time this airs tomorrow, you can buy it.
If you see me on the street, they'll be in my bag, and I will say you went on the sidewalk. I will. Yeah, I'm not joking.
We are at Rock Solid Show. I am at Pat_Francis. I want to play us out with one more song from Action Skulls. This album is called Angels Here. Where'd that title come from, Angels Here?
It's a line in Vicky's Map of the World song that says, there be angels here. And when it's kind of dedicated to Rick, and John decided that the tense of here should be changed to your hearing here.
Yeah. H-E-A-R instead
verb.
Of here.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought that was a great title, actually.
That is cool. And I'm glad you noticed that you didn't sign this, because it says to Pat, but then, you need to sign it.
I have a chance for $5 more.
Which song
I'm
would,
so kidding.
Mercenary.
Which song would you like me to play out off the album?
Oh, gosh.
Faith Walls, Standing on a Mountain, Bell of the Ball, The Land of Dreams. Or I'll play out with one we already played. I don't care. Yeah.
I'm a Land of Dreams guy because it's how the album ends. And if we want to end this moment that way.
Let's play Land of Dreams.
I just want to thank you, Pat, for having us on your podcast
show. Oh, my God, thank you.
I want to thank Vicky and Bill for making me part of such a cool band. And it really is a lot of love in the room. And I just want to thank everybody for that.
Well, thank all of you. This has been a thrill for me. And it's going to be a thrill for the listeners. And this is Action Skulls. And this is The Land of Dreams.
Said I would, and you were right most all the time, but not quite. You missed the mark along the way. You lit the spark, and it burns today. I'll see you in the land of dreams. In the land of dreams.
Look overhead. What do you see? Under the bed, up in the tree. The camera's on. There's no place to hide. The damage is done. In the river's wide. Thank you.